Okay. We live in confusing times, but here's God's command to us, and especially to leaders. This is what Paul told Timothy. I really like this in the NIV. It says, "You, man of God, keep your head in all situations. Do your hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry." So no matter how confusing things are, God wants leaders in the church to make sure they keep their head clear, not be swayed, and his whole church to not be swayed by anything other than the truth, no matter what. And it's crucial that we do so because we are the salt of the earth. Jesus says if we lose that saltiness, we're good for nothing to be thrown out on the manure pile. We're the light of the world. If we don't show our good deeds in a way for the world to see, the world lives in darkness. And God wants us to be the ones who shape people's understanding because we're the only ones that have the ability to know what is right based on God's word. And that currently is not what's happening in most places. What I see is that in many ways, the world is influencing the church's thinking more than God's truth is. And as your pastors, we are charged by God to not let this happen. So I'm going to share some things today that in the current environment, I think may be judged to be not compassionate. And compassion has become the most important standard in our culture. But it is the cultural definition of compassion that is used rather than God's. And many Christians are making decisions based upon that rather than upon God's truth. And this we must not do. If we desire to please God and to actually bring good to people, we cannot do that. But as I share this perspective, I want to begin by telling you some things about myself that you probably don't know, so that you'll understand my heart as I share these things. I have Christian brothers and sisters that I know and love, that I've given my life to for decades, that are here illegally, coming all the way from Venezuela. I have Christian brothers and sisters who are here legally who did it the right way. I currently volunteer 2 hours a week as a Spanish-speaking parenting coach with New Life Family Services to help immigrants. And I don't ask, but many of my clients I serve, I assume, are here illegally. Part of my regular monthly giving beyond my tithe to this church goes to support this ministry, which generously meets the physical and spiritual needs of immigrants in a God-honoring way. And the reason I do this, and the whole reason I speak Spanish at all, is because of my many years of involvement with helping poor people throughout Latin America. I've spent significant time personally involved with people in situations that were beyond anything I could have imagined had I not seen them. I prayed with and over people that were dying without medical assistance. I volunteered to distribute food in a borderline mob scene where the person who did it the day before had been shot because people were so desperate. I walked miles to bring food and pray over an 85-year-old woman who was dying of anemia while her blind 50-year-old daughter sat on the foot of the bed and made noises at me that I could not understand. I later found out that she was mentally incapable of speaking Spanish. And the only person in the world who could understand her and care for her was dying. I spent time outside her home with her sons, helping them shell the meager beans that the drought had yielded for them. I'm not unmoved by this need. Beyond my regular tithe to this church and my past church, in the last 30 years, I've given close to $100,000 to support ministries and individuals helping the poor in Latin America. And beyond that, in my last church, my daughter and I developed a ministry that packed and shipped more than 1 million meals to Honduras, El Salvador, and Venezuela. We developed this ministry in a way that ensured that all the food was distributed directly to people in need and that it was given in a godly way that came with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say this not to exalt myself. Actually, as the Apostle Paul said, I'm being foolish to do this. But you don't know this about me. My last church knew this about me because they were involved helping me do these things. And I want you to understand that I am not unmoved by what I have seen. But through my involvement with all this, I learned that you cannot bring any real good to people unless you follow God's direction. Many things may look nice, or feel compassionate or be popular. But in the end, they do not bring good if they're not based on the truth of God. And in fact, they may bring great evil. I've spent 30 years supporting people I dearly love in Venezuela on an almost weekly basis as their country transitioned into a place of fear, hatred, and finally, starvation. Many of my friends lost severe weight on the Maduro diet, and some lost everything that they had worked their entire lives for. Others felt forced to leave the country they love, and all of this because the people there accepted a form of compassion that was not in accordance with what God says. A young woman who is as dear to me as my own daughter was assaulted because her and her fiancé were innocent targets of political violence in Honduras. 8 days before her wedding, their car was ambushed. She was shot 3 times, and her fiancé died in her lap. Rox and I spent 3 months hosting her in our home because she had to flee the political danger. We helped her as she healed from the physical, emotional, and spiritual trauma of what she had been through. So I want you to know that these thoughts don't come from a place of not caring. They don't come from a place of thinking about this for 2 weeks. This is central to what my life has been dedicated to. I understand the reality of what people have fled and what they return to if they are sent back. But I also know the destruction that comes from solutions that are motivated by the feeling that something must be done, but they are not based on God's truth. And I see this everywhere in the leaders of the anti-ICE movement. And we are beginning to see the fruit of this. If it continues, the fruit will only get worse. When I began writing this, fewer people had died than now is tragically the case. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is the one that is behind all the violence. So there's a lot I could say. I could talk for hours. But the lie I want to talk about is the one I hear over and over is that the protests are in response to an illegal action. And therefore, people are justified and should resist in any way possible. That it is righteous and honorable to do so. And the reason the rioters stormed the church was to try and shame those people into believing that God would give them the responsibility to join them in what they were doing. But this is not true. God tells us in the Bible that he is the one that determines the boundary lines and the governments of nations. Those things are not evil. They are God's will. And according to our Constitution, the federal government has the authority to control who is allowed to enter the country. And it is responsible to enforce immigration law. This means the government has the right to deport people. When I go to Latin America, I must keep my passport with me at all times. I don't look like the people there. I don't speak the language like the people there. That makes me a target of them asking me if I have the right to be there. That's not racism. That's law and order. And until a few years ago, everybody understood that. And so under our command to obey the government, which Clifton laid out well, to defy this is to be outside God's will. And we must have the faith to believe that. Now, many of you are saying, but they're not doing it the right way. The government's wrong. It's making mistakes in the way they're doing this. And we hear stories or even know people, which I personally do, who have been wrongfully detained. There are cases where this is happening. But I also yesterday heard a personal testimony of someone who I trust that said they know somebody that ICE grabbed a woman, took her away, and then 3 hours later brought her back, said, "You're not a criminal. You've been here a long time. We suggest you pursue citizenship, but I wouldn't live in your house for the next 2 weeks," and let her go. Which of these are true? We don't know. Most of us don't know what the truth of these stories is. Most of your social media feeds are filled with, you don't know if it's AI-generated content or not. We don't know. We must be careful to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. So in America, we have the blessing of being in a government structure where our leaders also are under obligation to obey the law. And we have the right and the responsibility to influence the government to do good. And we should do so. We should influence them to create or change laws so that they bring good to people. We can do this through elections, lobbying our representatives. In addition, we have the ability and the right to demonstrate our displeasure with the actions of our leaders. But we must do this within the bounds of that Constitution, obeying its laws. If we do not, the rights and the blessings that we enjoy will be lost. And really, this is the goal of many of those responsible for agitating the crowds. And I could tell you that we do not want to live with the fruit of that. But more importantly, God will not be pleased with us. We live in a sinful world. We must seek the remedy that will bring the most good. There's no perfect solution. The attitude and the actions of those controlling the activists in the streets have and will only make things worse. If everyone honored God by obeying the law and praying, the most good would come. This is what we must do, and this is what we must have the courage to encourage others to do as well. And so the final thing I want to say is that being involved with people in desperate situations has taught me something extremely important and extremely profound. God is more real than I ever imagined, and that he is faithful. Following his direction is always best, because he is the surest hope. I have met many people in desperate situations that have found a hope and a reality in God that has deeply humbled me and hopefully helped prepare me to go through such things myself. I think it has, but I don't know because I've not yet been tested in to the degree that they have. But I know they have found God faithful. And I believe this is a situation where we can begin to do that, learning to trust God in greater ways by having the faith to follow God. So let's pray. God, I want to ask you for grace. I want to ask you for clarity. I want to ask you for your spirit to speak to us in a strong, clear way to help us. Lord, we need you. This world needs you. I pray for the situation in Minneapolis, God. I pray that your peace would prevail, that you would intervene. God, you would help people think clearly, to come to their senses, to not be deceived by your enemy. No matter what side of the debate they're on, there's really only two sides in this debate, Lord. There's your side and there's the enemy. The whole world is involved in this huge struggle between good and evil. God, help us have the wisdom to see clearly which side is good. And that line varies from situation to situation, Lord. It's not based on political lines. It's not based on any of that. It's based on your word and your truth. And I ask you, God, you give us grace to see it and the faith to follow. And we ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. So now Clifton's going to jump up here.
I am going to jump. All right, my turn. So, I'm a little taller. All right. I was thinking, in Colossians 1, Paul, he says he's praying for the continuing maturity of believers, their growth and their love for Christ, and that they would have wisdom. And as I thought about sharing this, I just thought, that is our heart for you. As you hear Charlie, as you hear Paul, as you hear myself, that's our heart, that we want you to continue to grow in maturity, to love the Lord, to be faithful, so that when you stand before him, you bring him great glory. He says, well done. You receive rewards, right? We care for you, right? That's where my heart is. That's where our heart is in this. It's challenging, right? It's tricky. It's difficult. So hopefully as we go through this, you can hear that kind of heart. So what I'm going to do is connect the the things that I talked about a couple weeks ago from Romans to what's going on in Minneapolis and the state and what's happening with apprehensions, etc. So first of all, I don't claim to be an expert on all of the issues. I have not spent the extensive time that it would take to figure out like each ICE apprehension, and if it was legitimate, if it was illegitimate, what's the percentage of legitimate to illegitimate, and those kinds of things. So what I want to try to do is just think about what is the example that the scriptures give us. So what is the example that Jesus gives us? What is the example of those who were with him, like they walked with him, and they knew him intimately, and kind of apply that and help us to understand this a little better. So, as far as their examples, none of them were insurrectionists. None of them were calling for the overthrow of the government, or even the forcible or violent impeding of the government. And what's interesting is that every one of them had friends. I mean, people they probably ate with many times and they knew personally, that had been murdered by the authorities. And yet, it wasn't their call to say, we have to forcibly overthrow them. So instead of trying to overthrow, they surrendered to God, and they called for submitting to the authorities. So a couple of verses that apply here. Let's see. Okay. Huh. Hey, I did the right thing. Well, I'll just read it to you. How about that? Romans 13:1, let everyone submit to the governing authorities. Then 1 Peter 2:13 through 14, submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. It's likely that Peter wrote that under the reign of Emperor Nero. And church history tells us that he then went and was crucified under that authority. Hey, we got her. There you go. So you can look at it. So it seems to me that the writers of the New Testament were most interested in and focused on representing, honoring, and glorifying Jesus in the midst of circumstances, similar circumstances, likely some worse circumstances than the ones that we're actually talking about now. So, whatever you do with this, with this issue of the ICE operations and the apprehensions, and wherever you land on the issue, you need to make prioritizing Christ and his people honorable, right? So you want to make, whatever you do, you're thinking, I want Christ to be honored in this. I want him to look good, because that seems to be what the New Testament says, right? They want that to happen, and then they want the people of God to honor the government, and they want to be seen as honorable, to be above reproach, to be blameless, right? And so what I'm saying is that things can be really bad, unjust. And what we want to do is think bigger, think eternally, so that our primary goal is to love and obey God and make him known. So let me mention this scripture, 1 Peter 2:21 through 23. For you were called to this. What is that? Suffering for doing good, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. So I'm going to get to the other side of this here in a second, but what I think this means, what I'm trying to get at, is that we can't join hands with people that are forcibly and violently opposing ICE. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't seek justice. That's the other side. And then take action to bring about its completion. Because Micah 6:8 says, "Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God." So, if you're going to protest against ICE, you would want to do that in conjunction with counsel, seeking God's will with your brothers and sisters. And that's because God has purposes. So, overarchingly, what are we trying to think of here? God has purposes for authority, and he doesn't take it lightly when you oppose them. And that's pretty significant, right? Okay. So I'm not claiming that this is easy or it's uncomplicated, that it isn't hard or painful, right? What we're trying to do is we're trying to bring God's thoughts to bear on the present so it can guide us into wise living. This is not the first time this stuff has happened. What has the church done for the last 2,000 years? I mean, because they've been in all kinds of situations. We just mentioned some of them here with Christ and the apostles and those that followed him. What did they do? Well, they came together, right? They communicated. They sought God's will together. They engaged in his word, engaged with one another. And through that process, they can get to the truth. They can get to wisdom. So, and the second thing they did, we see, particularly in the book of Acts, is they prayed. They prayed. They needed help. They felt the desperation of, what am I supposed to do? what am I supposed to do here? And so they prayed because they knew how much they needed him. And so that's what we want to do. That's what I want us to do. At least those two things. We go to God, we implore him, we beseech him, we ask him for his help and his mercy, and we're going to do that today. I mean, that's one of the big things this is about, is trying to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray in that light, and you can you pray along with me here. Yeah, Lord, we are desperate. We've always been desperate. That's always how it's been. Help us to see that. Help us to know that. You already know that. We just want to come in line with that reality, with that truth. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your love for those who are protesting against ICE. Thank you for your love for those, for the ICE officers. Thank you for your love and your care for the immigrant, for the refugee, for all of them. Thank you for those who are criminals and those who are not. Thank you that you love them and you want their good. And that's what we pray for. We want that. May our hearts be like that, where we genuinely love and desire the good on both sides. That is your heart. And so I pray for that. I pray for that we could walk that line. We would have wisdom. We would know it's true. We would not be deceived. And we would have the greatest desire and then actual living out of justice. May we do that, Lord. Give us wisdom. I don't have every answer. I need my brothers and sisters to help me. And I pray that we would have that idea. We would be humble enough to say that to one another and then strive to get to the truth with each other, assuming that the other person can help. There's so much to pray for. There's so many things that could be prayed for right now. I pray that we would make you known. Whatever we do, wherever we land, we would make you known. You would be our priority. And I pray for unity among us. You can do that. There's been challenges before, and so that my prayer is that we would pass through those challenges with greater unity, greater wisdom, greater love, greater commitment to one another. And in that way, your church will be the light of the world that you want it to be. Have mercy on us, oh God, and thank you for your mercy. We love you. Amen. Paul Stern.
There's a lot to say. I'm going to try to breeze through a lot here. I really would encourage you, as you have questions, not if you have questions, but as you have questions or comments, please pursue one of us pastors. We'd love to talk to you and counsel with you and dig through this issue, because we can't answer every question through what we're saying here this morning. I think that my first reaction to all of this is one of sadness at the pain and the suffering that's going on. I see this in God himself being sad over suffering and grieved by suffering. And so I think it's appropriate to be sad. And there's so many verses, and I won't take us through them all, but trust me, God is grieved by pain and suffering. I'm also angry at sin and injustice. There is injustice being done. And for us to think that there is not is saying that there are no humans involved, because you get humans involved and there is injustice. There is racism. There is evil being done. And we hope that that's as little as possible. But whenever you have someone in authority who is, with our government, with our police, with federal agents, with everything, there is injustice. And so that makes God angry, and he is against injustice. He is a God of justice and righteousness. And again, I have a lot of verses, but trust me, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness. So I am resolved to love and care. This is what God calls us to do. In the face of this, is to love him first and foremost and love our neighbor as ourself. That is what we need to do. Just like I talked about last week, we are not to owe anyone anything except for love. And we ought to love and keep loving and keep loving. That is a never-ending debt that we should have, is to love one another. And I am beholden to God for that. God requires that of me and of you, to love. We are dependent upon God as well in this. And God cares for people. James 1:27 says that pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And we're to be generous. We are rich, and we are called to be generous towards those who are not. We are to be rich in good works and generous and willing to share. 1 Timothy 6 says that. And we're to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and imitate him. Hebrews 12 talks about that. And we're supposed to use our gift to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. 1 Peter 4 talks about that. And I'm looking forward to heaven. In heaven, all wrongs will be made right. And we'll look across a field of people who have been redeemed by grace from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Revelation 7 says that. And there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 says that. So what do? Practical steps. My immediate response to this is to feel the emotion and process the emotion, but we must do something. We cannot just sit by, because our world demands this of us. And to just sit by and not have any action, I feel like, is taking an action. And so we need to be wise. We need to understand what's going on. And I think Charlie and Clifton alluded to this. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5 says, "Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes." Between those two proverbs, we are really caught because we are dealing with a very foolish world around us. A very, very foolish world. Our president has acted like a fool. And the government here in Minnesota has acted like a fool. And what we have reaped from that is a lot of foolishness. Many, many protesters have acted like fools. And I won't say that they all have, I don't know. But let's be wise. What does a wise person do in times of uncertainty? Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight." Ephesians 4:26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." I think that it's appropriate when we see injustice to be angry, but we need to be wise and not sin. I think we see in God, we see sadness and we see anger, but we do not see fear. One of the most often repeated commands in Scripture is do not be afraid. And I don't think we need to be afraid. We need to trust God. And I think that we need to be involved and we need to be generous. I don't have the slide up here, and we'll get this information out, but our church has partnered with Arrive Ministries in the past, and we continue to do so, and they support refugees, and they sent out a newsletter on different ways to help, and they ask for prayer for the families affected and for justice and compassion to prevail. They encourage us to call our representatives in the Department of Homeland Security to demand an end to the refugee detentions in connection with Operation Paris. And so there are people who are being detained who are here legally. And so we would not want that to happen. If that's an unjust detention. We would also encourage the people who are detained to be treated well and not to be treated poorly. Arrive Ministries is collecting hygiene items. You can give to that. You can also volunteer to walk alongside a refugee family with friendship and practical support. And then they have a Refugee Neighbors Belong Fund that they are collecting money for to assist families with essentials, legal support, and other emerging needs in this uncertain time. So we'll post that on our various pages and encourage you to jump in with that. I've had the privilege of coming alongside a family from Pakistan over the last couple of years and really enjoyed getting to know them and building a relationship with them and sharing Christ with them. They've joined our fellowship a couple of times on different activities. I invite them to our Super Bowl party coming up next week. I also have another friend. He's coming out of Ethiopia and have been blessed to get to know him as well and been sharing the truth with him. And so there are so many people who need help, and God calls us to help. God calls us to be involved in a world where it's easy to click a button, to copy and paste, to repost. Let us be wise. Let us pursue God in this. Let us work together to figure out what God wants and to do it and not just sit idly by. And again, if you have questions and concerns, please reach out to us and we will continue to shoot to shepherd you guys through this. Charlie, Clifton, and I strive to be what God calls us to be, and that's shepherds over the sheep. And as we are sheep ourselves under the great shepherd, we've been tasked with shepherding you guys by God, and we'll stand before him responsible for how our church has been shepherded. We want to shepherd you through this time, and that takes care and patience and us working hard. So please, please, please don't think you're troubling us if you reach out and want to talk, because that's important. Okay, it's really late. We need to spend some time praying together. I'm gonna pray, and then I want to challenge you guys to connect with four or five people around you and spend some time praying. We've got some prayer requests I'll put up in a second here. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you are not unaware of what's happening. I thank you that you are still in control. You haven't dropped the ball. You're not sleeping. You're not tired out. You are here with us, and you are with those who are suffering. Lord, I thank you that you are sad that their suffering is happening, and you are angry at injustice. I thank you that one day every wrong will be righted, and every injustice will be repaired, Lord. You are in control, so we look to you, Lord, to help guide us during this time. Help give us wisdom. Help us to be shrewd and be wise. Help us to do the research that's needed. Help us not just believe something that already aligns with what we think is going on, but to look more deeply into things. Lord, help us to challenge one another and hear one another out. Lord, help us pursue you in your heart. I thank you for your love for the people you have created, each and every one of us. Lord, we depend upon you. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. It didn't go. I switched slides, and it took one off, but then it didn't put the next one on. We've got 14 points. Like often happens, people email us and say, hey, you know what? I think we should pray on Sunday. Ben did that. We should pray, and he gave us a whole bunch of stuff to pray for. We've edited his ideas a little bit, tried to bring it down to fit on one slide, but that's great. It's good to pray together. If only you guys knew what they were. We got our stuff up here now, so plenty of stuff to pray for there. Why don't we take 10 minutes, shoot for about 10 minutes. Lord God, we pray that you would be honored, that you would get glory. Lord, the world has gone through many difficult seasons, and right now one of those seasons is happening here in Minnesota. And it could get worse before it gets better. Help us be people of faith, people of love, people of courage. And help us be your men and women in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, at the gas station, at the restaurants, with whoever we might come across. Lord, help us to stand up against injustice and hate and stand up for truth, stand up for love. Stand up for the people who cannot stand up for themselves. Lord, help us be wise and help us keep going to the one who has the ultimate power. That is you, Lord. Help us keep praying. Help us join with others in praying and calling on you, the one who knows, the one who sees, the one who acts, and the one who holds the future in his hands. We trust you, Lord. Help us go in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.